Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. The Spirit in me greets the Spirit in you this morning. My name is Kristen. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care. And with me in leadership this morning is our Director of Music, Dr. Sarah Svensson. And you will be hearing our wonderful choir and our organ scholar, Cadence Brassard. And at the back are our nursery and Sunday school leaders. Nicole is here, and Emma will be here. I have no doubt. Rosedale United Church is a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of Rosedale and in our city. And we did just that yesterday at our annual Holly Berry Fair. It was a fantastic day, and led by Diane Thompson. Diane, can you stand up? Diane Thompson and co-chair Marilyn McKelvey, they did just a fantastic job. All of the proceeds of that fair are going to support the vulnerable and the food program at St. Luke's United Church, which is just across from Allen Gardens. So just really a wonderful, wonderful day. And I want to thank all of you who were there. I saw many, many of you working as volunteers and many others of you out supporting the sale and making purchases and eating lunch, which is wonderful. So the book sale from the Holly Berry Fair is actually still open. So we encourage you to wander upstairs, the stairs that are just out there, after the service, and you can take a look, see if there's a title that missed your attention on your first round through, and we can continue to make some funds for our friends down at St. Luke's. It's just so good to be together, and I'm really glad that you are here and that you have made this time to be community on a Sunday morning. We gather always to learn and to grow and to serve. We are proud at Rosedale United to be an affirming congregation. We represent a variety of ages and gender identities and sexualities, family configurations and backgrounds. This is a place where everyone is welcome. If this is your first Sunday morning with us, really special welcome to you. We do gather for tea and coffee every Sunday after the service. And to get to where all that is happening, you just go through those doors right there. And we hope that you'll stay and just, you know, let us get to know you and vice versa. If you're here with kids, they're gathering at the back right now, and they're going to head out during the opening hymn. It's also okay if your kids or grandkids are with you. They can stay in the service. There's a quiet area at the back. It's really whatever works best for you. Okay, some other announcements. The coat drive. This is the final day to be dropping off physical coats for our coat drive. You can do so until 12:30 today. You can also, Wendy is coming up, and she's modeling a fantastic donation that we received, which we will be auctioning off, and the proceeds that we raise from the auction will go to purchase a whole bunch of coats for our coat drive. So if you would like to bid in this auction, we encourage you to do so, and Wendy or Claire are the people who can help you with that. You can also continue to donate financially, and we will purchase coats on your behalf, and you do that just by making an e-transfer to our office. And again, Wendy or Claire are your people to help with that. We have a really special tradition coming up on December 6th. This is our Women's Advent by Candlelight. It's just a wonderful way to center yourself in peace ahead of what we all know can be a stressful season in December. So if you identify as a woman and you would like to participate, we do encourage you to sign up because this helps us to know how many refreshments we need to provide. And you can see, oh, Sandy. Sandy, can you just raise your hand? So Sandy's going to be at coffee hour, and she is the one that you want to speak to attend Advent by Candlelight. It's a wonderful service. It's something that you could bring your friends from the neighborhood. You could bring them. Other news. I hope you have marked your calendars for December 12th. This is another great bring the whole family, bring friends. It's our Christmas Carol sing-along with our choir and also an incredible brass band. It's just 1 hour all in. You come and get into the Christmas spirit. There is no official charge, but you are welcome to bring a financial donation, and the proceeds will go to the food bank. So we do encourage you to come out to that December 12th. And so, as we gather, we acknowledge this sacred land, which has been a site of human activity for 15,000 years. It is the territory of the Huron-Wendat, the Petun First Nations, the Seneca, and most recently the Mississaugas of the Credit River. And we are grateful for the opportunity to gather this morning on this territory. And so in the spirit of Jesus Christ, who calls us to be the church, and to celebrate God's presence, let us worship. Will you stand with me? And we'll say together our call to worship. We live in a world that often distorts what it means to be created in the image of God. We live in a world that values popularity more than humility. We live in a world where some lives are valued more than others. We live in a world where humanity yearns for new possibilities and hope. Aware of the world we live in, let us welcome Jesus as we worship today. We sing, "Make a Joyful Noise." This is from the Red Hymn Book.
Thank you.
Friends, let's greet each other with the peace of Christ. This is a simple peace be with you, and the response is, and also with you. And so we're settling in. Our feet are still now, and there is no need to hurry. Our hands can lie quiet for this hour with no task to do. Our body can begin to relax in peace. And our soul, in silence as vast as space, can reach now, yearning and loving unto God. I invite us into some moments of silence, and then the refrain will begin that enters us into a time of gathering prayer. O love eternal, stir up our hearts and our minds. Many have come before us in this place, and many will come after to learn of manger, cross, and crown. Bless us, we pray, with an awareness of all your children, living in every country, speaking every language. May the needs, challenges, and joys of all be in our hearts and on our lips, reminding us that we are not alone. We are all part of a larger story, and you are at its center. Help us to find unity in Jesus' name and to become your servant kingdom. Lead us from our pride back to your reign of hope and love until we live in right relationship with you and with each other again. We pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say together, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The reign of goodness begins with grace. Forgiveness is in every breath. Let go of hurt and take up the work of reconciliation. In the name of the Good Shepherd, we claim our new life. So opening the theme this morning, I know it's not yet Advent, and in our tradition, we're not even really supposed to mention Christmas until almost Christmas Eve, but I'm going to say the word Christmas this morning. And I'm going to ask you, or invite you, in our theme question to ponder, what do you need to have happen in the next few weeks to make the magic and wonder of Christmas real for you? So you're invited, as Sarah plays for a few moments, to ponder, what do you need to have happen in the weeks ahead to feel the magic and wonder of Christmas? I'm going to call John Hall forward. John has our scripture reading this morning. And while John is making his way up, I'm going to give you some context. So, two things. First thing one, in the Christian faith tradition, we believe that our lives have meaning and purpose. And we believe that our actions matter, and that our actions make a real difference in the world. That's thing one. So listen for that in the text that you're about to hear. Thing two, there's a principle in Jewish law that if you appoint someone as your representative, then they are literally you. So for example, if I'm a business person and I'm sending so-and-so to sign a document on my behalf, that person, in effect, is me. I want you to listen for that in this scripture passage as well.
A reading from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it to me. May God bless to our understanding the reading from the Holy Scriptures.
Friends, let's stand and respond in song, When I Needed a Neighbor. This is from the Red Hymn Book as well. We're going to be singing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. And so reminded of God's care for us and the caring example of Jesus, we are invited to join in prayer for the world God loves. Let us pray. God, you have fashioned us. You create us. This is our joy-filled realization. We are born to be loving, an expression of your divine plan. Today we name our hope that your Son, Jesus the Christ, will come again to earth to right all wrongs and to usher in your realm. We know that you call us to live as though this kingdom has already come. And so we pray for you to strengthen and inspire us to seek unity over division, to add softness to a world that is harsh, to wed compassion to power, to nourish the young, and to care for the sick and the weak and the elderly, to cherish life's creatures, and to live in harmony with each other and the earth so that everywhere will be called Eden once again. We pray on this day to accept our mortality and finitude not as a curse, but as a challenge, to make our lives and choices matter. We pray all of this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who reigns within our hearts. Amen. Will you join with me in our response? We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts. And so in this moment, you are invited to respond with a gesture. You may want to carry on this time of prayer by lighting a candle for a person or a place that is on your heart and mind this morning, and there's several stations where you can do so. You may also be moved this morning to make an offering to the life and the work of this congregation. And if you would like to do that, there is a box at the back or a means of donating through our bulletin with a QR code. You're also invited just to enjoy the peace of this moment and just to simply be and to rest. It's all open and the invitation is here.
Somebody's praying for me. Angels are watching. I can feel it. Angels are watching over me. Weary miles ahead till I get home. Still I'm safely kept before the throne. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Angels are watching over me. Lord, yes, I believe. Somebody's praying. Somebody's praying just for me, my Lord.
We are so lucky with the choir at Rosedale United. Thank you for your joy and for your voices. I had an announcement that it could be that one of our vehicles is making it difficult for the bus to get by. So if you know that you may have parked in a place that might be compromising the bus, this is your sign, yeah. Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this message was inspired. So John Hall, when I sent him the scripture reading, said, "This reminds me of a song by Johnny Cash." And then he forwarded me the song, and I went, "Oh my gosh, yes, this is perfect." So I need to give a shout out this morning to Johnny Cash for his part in inspiring where this sermon went this morning. And also thank you to John for alerting me. And so just keep listening, and I hope it will all come together. A story for this Sunday. It was early on Sunday morning, the last Sunday before December and the season of Advent. "Stir up, Sunday," Mrs. Gerald was saying to Beth. These two were reorganizing all the leftover books from the church's big fundraising bazaar the day before. Tidying things up for the congregation to peruse again after the church service. "Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people," Mrs. Gerald intoned. And then she went on, "Every year in the Church of England, on the last Sunday before Advent, the words to the gathering prayer are the same. Stir up, we beseech thee," Mrs. Gerald explained. "But what my mother and all the other women of the parish heard on Stir Up Sunday was a reminder to get started on that year's Christmas pudding," Mrs. Gerald said to Beth. "All the children would be called in to help stir it up, and my mother would wrap coins in wax and bake them into the pudding, and on Christmas Day she'd bring it to the table decorated with holly from our own back garden, and she'd douse it with brandy and light it on fire. The flame was the most splendid blue light leaping in the dark. But those days feel long gone," Mrs. Gerald continued. "And no one in my family will even try Christmas pudding nowadays, not even with my delicious brandy butter." Normally, Beth would have only been half listening to Mrs. Gerald's prattling. But this morning, she too would have liked to hop into a time machine to travel back to the past. Advent and Christmas were Beth's favorite seasons. It was maybe the only time of the year when Beth actually felt her heart and mind stirred up with magic and wonder. And every year, it was the progression of the familiar, the unfolding of the weeks from the end of November with exactly the same activities and events every year that never failed to stir up Beth's heart. Beth recalled with a shudder the disastrous year that she and David had gone away at the end of November through most of Advent. She'd returned to Toronto a few days before Christmas Eve and felt nothing. From that moment, Beth redoubled her devotion to tradition. She guarded her spirit like an orchid. Certain boxes needed to be checked and checked in order over the next few weeks for Beth's heart and mind to be stirred up with the magic of the season. Beth looked forward to mid-November when the ladies would decorate the church with greenery. Then would begin the lighting of the Advent candles in the service. Then would come Pageant Sunday, then Music Sunday. And on the fourth Sunday of Advent, the minister would always tell a story. Then, in the days before Christmas Eve, Beth would make gingerbread houses with her grandchildren, and she'd go to see the Nutcracker Ballet with her friends. And it was this familiar sequence Beth had determined that acted like a kind of summoning. It was moving through this exact pattern of events each year that made Christ's presence real for Beth. But this season, the whole sequence had been upset. The congregation had been informed by the worship and music committee that there weren't enough children around to put on a Christmas pageant. And the minister announced that she might not compose a story as usual for the last Sunday in Advent. Then Beth's daughter had texted to say that they were going to Ottawa for a soccer tournament and would have to skip making gingerbread this year. And both of Beth's ballet friends said they didn't want to risk big crowds before the holidays. "Well, why don't you just make the best of it," Beth's husband David said to her on the afternoon of Stir Up Sunday. Beth was sitting at the dining room table scowling, a notepad and calendar spread out in front of her. She was in the process of planning out the next 5 weeks and who would do what and who would buy what and when. Beth didn't want to make the best of it. David didn't understand what was at stake. Beth wanted nothing less than her heart and mind stirred up with the magic and wonder of Emmanuel, the real sense of God with us. "We're gearing up for a Christless Christmas," she said. The last week in November soon turned into the first week in December. Beth had been tasked with greeting at the church's annual candlelight service for women. The evening had begun, and Beth was about to go into the sanctuary when she noticed a woman standing in the shadows of a tree near the covered entrance. Beth walked down the steps and pushed open the heavy glass door. "Would you like to come in?" she asked. The woman was young, and she clasped and unclasped her hands nervously. Beth showed her into the sanctuary, ushered her to a pew with a spare cushion, sat down beside her. The young woman was a student from India, she said. She would often take the bus up from her campus to walk in the neighborhood, and she had seen this event advertised on the church's sign. "I'm just really homesick," she said. "I just really miss my family, and I can't travel home over the break." When the service ended, Beth took the young woman to the room where the refreshments had been laid out and filled her a plate and poured her a hot mug of tea and introduced her around. And later, Beth walked home in the moonlight, surprised that even with all those candles and with all those carols still, there was no sense yet of the presence of Christ for her. The next week, Beth was responsible for picking up the grandkids from school and watching them while her daughter and son-in-law worked late, trying to wrap things up ahead of the holidays. Monday afternoon, Beth was early to the school and stood waiting outside the entrance. Next to the school was a kind of apartment building. A group of men sat on the porch talking, and children scrimmaged with a ball, which all of a sudden whizzed past Beth and lodged itself under a parked car. A tiny boy wearing a sweatshirt with a unicorn on the front and a raptor's toque ran up, looking bereft. Beth crouched down to try to fish out the ball, not sure she'd be able to stand up again. "Got it," she said, easing herself up. She smiled at the little boy and passed him the ball. On Tuesday, Beth was early again for the bell. She wandered closer to the building. "Refugee Welcome Center," a sign read. A list of urgently needed items was taped to the glass on the door: grocery cards, diapers, linens. Beth took a photo with her phone. She'd add these to her shopping list. Advent went on, and still Beth waited for that moment when her heart and mind would be stirred up, when it would feel real to her again, Christ's presence. She decided to listen to CBC Radio's Joy to the World concerts. She bought an eggnog latte. She draped 60 feet of cedar swag on the banister of her front porch. She strung up white lights. Nothing worked. Of course, she had been right. It was only the familiar and the usual that conjured Christ at Christmas. On the last Sunday in Advent, Beth made her way over to the church. She had signed up to arrange the flowers that day, and she was on coffee duty, so she wanted to be early. Waiting at the door was a frail-looking and bent-over man sitting on the seat of his walker. "How long have you been waiting here?" Beth said, and the man tilted his face upwards. He was unshaven, his day-old whiskers white. His coat was open, and Beth noticed bits of food on his navy sweater, that morning's breakfast. "Wheel-Trans just dropped me here," he said. Beth held the door while he inched his way forward. She guided him into the elevator. She brought a chair into the church's main floor kitchen and helped him to sit down and got him a coffee and chatted as she trimmed the flowers and got ready the mugs and the cream and the sugar. That morning, the choir performed a song by Johnny Cash, a real ballad. It was about a man who dreams that Jesus is coming, coming to stir up his heart, coming to greet him. The man wakes from the dream and he just knows it's going to happen. Jesus is coming, magic and wonder. The man spends all day getting ready. He decorates his shop, spreads a nice table, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door. The man opens it. But he doesn't see Jesus, only someone who has fallen on hard times. The man gives him a pair of shoes and returns to waiting for Christ's presence to really greet him, for the magic, for the wonder. A second knock. Now this will be Jesus, the man thinks. But it's only an old, bent-over woman. The man lets her rest a while, gives her a hot drink, and goes back to waiting. A third knock, but already the man can hear that it's only a child crying. She's lost. The man helps her to find her family. And now it looks as if his dream was actually a delusion. He decides to pray, and he hears the voice of Jesus. "I was the beggar with bruised, cold feet. And I was the woman you gave something to eat. And I was the kid on the homeless street." Beth sat listening to the choir, and some words of scripture came into her mind. In fact, they were the passage they'd read a month ago on Stir Up Sunday. "Whatever you did to the least of these," Jesus says, "you did to me." Beth remembered the young woman and the child and the old man. Was it possible? She caught her breath, and then it hit her. Magic and wonder, her heart and mind all stirred up. There is no special sequence, events like boxes we must check in order to feel Christ's presence here with us again. For he has told us where we'll find him. And when we serve the hungry and the thirsty, when we tend to the sick and the shivering, when we welcome the stranger and show kindness to the overlooked and the ignored, then Christ has said we will see him face to face, and help to make his kingdom come. And so on this day, we pray, "Stir up, we beseech thee, the wills of thy faithful people, O Lord." Amen. Let's stand and sing together. The King of Love. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Friends, we go into this day and this week with the challenge to make love known, knowing that we go surrounded by the love of God and by the companionship of Christ and by the grace and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We go in peace and we bless each other as we go. And you're invited to join in our sung blessing.